Hi, and welcome to the Whispering Gallery. I'm Emily.
And I'm Suzanne. Today we're wrapping up our conversation about St. George and the Dragon. I'd like to say it's on a warm summer's day in the 90s Fahrenheit, which it has been, but right now we're in the middle of a thunderstorm and downpour, which is kind of awesome, too. The thunderstorms in the summer in Utah are amazing. So come with us as we wade into the watery depths where both lake monsters and sea monsters are said to live. So let's get started. I was so jazzed when researching reptiles in Libya, seeing what we could maybe relate to in regards to a dragon, along with the serpent that we discussed already from Genesis in the last episode. I found some incredible, documented, really ginormous crocodiles that were discovered in Africa, more specifically Libya and Tunisia, and in the United States. These crocodiles are impressive, like 40 feet long. Remember the four ox carts required to remove the dragon from the city? Tunisia is usually no hotter than 81 degrees Fahrenheit during August and 53 Fahrenheit in the winter. And looking at photos of the country, it reminded me a lot of Greece as a Mediterranean city. And in looking at Libya, Libya had ruins and was desert-like, and the Sahara comes up right into the two countries of Tunisia and Libya.
You were saying they had a pretty similar aesthetic with Greece as well, right?
Tunisia in particular. I saw a few pictures with the white walls and the bright blue. I don't know if there were rooftops or like umbrellas or what, you know, sun protection.
Bright blue accents.
Yeah. They both run up right by the Mediterranean, but with Tunisia, they run right up to the Tyrrhenian Sea.
Tyrrhenian?
Okay.
Sorry for the mispronunciations, guys. This one's kind of a doozy.
So Tunisia goes right up to the Tyrrhenian, Tyrrhenian Sea, if you want to look it up, and the Mediterranean Sea.
So it's right off the coast of Italy, pretty close to Naples.
And it looks like it would almost jump over to Italy. So another interesting thing about Tunisia is that Star Wars was filmed there and that there is a place called Tatooine in Tunisia. And all this time I thought George Lucas had made it up. He was very creative. No slam there. It just was like, oh, it's a place. So that was pretty cool to find out. And that's where that had been filmed. I'm probably late to the party. You guys probably know this.
I had no idea.
You didn't?
Okay. No.
So anyway, I've got to say, I was kind of bursting to share the details, and I started texting Emily as soon as I started seeing ancient crocodiles come up in my searches for what kind of animals live in Libya, reptiles in particular, that could be
interpreted as a dragon.
Yeah. I started seeing these dinosaurs from the, or I guess they're dinosaurs, of the crocodilian, I think it's called, species, and they were from 30 to 40 feet long, taking a huge stretch of the imagination. Could a giant crocodile or alligator have survived from the Cretaceous period and then been this dragon that St. George had to slay? Maybe it's not likely, but it's kind of fun to imagine or think about this stuff.
It's a fun direction to go in. It's something that I really like, where it finds the fantasy and then how the fantasy can translate into reality.
On Instagram, if you're following us, I mentioned that there was a hint about this episode to check out the painting of St. George fighting the dragon by Leonard Beck, and it's very much a crocodile.
Oh, it's totally rendered like a crocodile. It looks exactly like one.
All the rest have ears, or, I mean, maybe not all of them, but they have ears and wings and two legs and a slithery tail or something in it. As far as something that might be real, Beck's rendition kind of looks like one, like a crocodile. You've got the four legs, the longer head. So you might go back and take a look at it. It's kind of interesting to see how he pulled that one together.
We hope the book callouts, paintings, and history have been painting a picture in your mind's eye about the story. Even though it seems like people, stories, and history agree that St. George was a Roman soldier, the part about the dragon gets pretty fuzzy. Like, we took off our glasses fuzzy. To recap, his part as a soldier seems to be what we might expect from a saint having stood up to the emperor as a Christian, refusing to kill other Christians, and he was martyred for his beliefs. While we're talking about George, we weren't clear if George is a Turkish or a Roman name. So in looking at Turkish and Roman names, wouldn't his name be more like Georgia, Georgia, or Georgio, Georgicus, or Georgerus.
Georgerius.
While this is tongue-in-cheek, we were curious. So BehindTheName.com writes,
George, the meaning in history, from the Greek name Georgios, which was derived from the Greek word Georgia, Georgos or Georgos, it's G-O-S, meaning farmer, earth worker, itself derived from the elements earth and work. St. George was a 3rd century Roman soldier from Palestine who was martyred during the persecutions of Emperor Diocletian. Later legends describe his defeat of a dragon with which he was often depicted in medieval art.
Rome and Greece are in the neighborhood of Libya, where the dragon was slain. Tunisia, across the Mediterranean Sea on the African continent, is where the heavy-hitting crocodile Machimosaurus rex was found.
Initially, St. George was primarily revered by Eastern Christians, but returning crusaders brought stories of him to Western Europe, and he became the patron of England, Portugal, Catalonia, and Aragon. The name was rarely used in England until the German-born George I came to the British throne in the 18th century. 5 subsequent British kings have borne the name, and we discussed that in the Hope Diamond episode. Do you remember which George it was?
Jeez, there were so many Georges.
I have a picture of him on Instagram. This is how we keep track of our research. We share it with you and then we could go look. Okay, it looks like episode 2 is where we talk about the French Revolution, and it's said to be in the painting of King George IV of England. They say that the Hope Diamond shows up there. So you can go to Instagram and take a look at that picture.
If you're following along with the story on Instagram with us, you've seen several artist renditions. The dragon in the story seems to have been skimmed over in the Golden Legend. It took 4 ox carts to clear it from the city. Wow, I think I would have taken a few more notes, like habitat, more about species and defining qualities, and wonder, hey, do you think there are any more of these things around? Okay, I think it's a good time to go down the rabbit hole, or rather, jump into the dragon pond. Would that be freshwater or saltwater?
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator.
Good question after reading about all of these.
It seems like they're not sure about some of them as well. Like, they found the fossil and they're not sure where they were or if they were displaced and that's why the body was where it was.
Yeah, by the earth moving after they had died. So yeah, that was really interesting because then it made it really hard to figure out what their habitat was. Talking about fire-breathing dragons and dragons with poisonous breath is thirsty work, so today we're bringing up grabbing a cool drink. It's a public service announcement, so we're just trying to share. We usually grab a water or soda before we get started, and so if you want to join us, it's just kind of a way to stay hydrated and
just a gentle reminder to drink some water for the day.
Yeah, maybe a step toward developing a moment for you as you listen to the podcast that's a bit of care for you holistically and for us, not just what we're hoping to share, which is a good story.
We also wanted to mention Lawrence of Arabia, which is definitely a movie that will make you thirsty.
That's something Emily's grandmother would always tell us.
Definitely, and she's so right. You'd have to drink like a gallon of water.
May we recommend it if you haven't, not the gallon of water, but may we recommend the movie Lawrence of Arabia if you haven't seen it?
Very solid, and in a similar region to what we're discussing today.
And you might want to have a cup of ice water when you're watching it. It's just amazingly dry.
You've seen nautical monster or fantasy art from maps of old, even if you don't think so. Take the Starbucks mermaid logo, for example, the twin-tailed siren. It's a hybrid of some very old line art. Check out our Instagram feed to see what we mean. You've probably also seen the strange creatures adorning ancient maps, sort of like whale fish, hippogriffs, and other creatures with fins, fur, and horns.
Folklore around the world has included watery monsters, and here's a few of the lake monsters. Sightings have been reported of Nessie, aka the Loch Ness Monster, swimming the waters of Loch Ness in Scotland. Some believe the sightings to be of decaying logs that have settled on the bottom of the loch that are finally surfacing. Others believe that it may be eels, and I believe I heard someone talk about a sequestered dinosaur, like a plesiosaur. This dinosaur lived during the Cretaceous period. Here are a few of the other lake monsters that Wikipedia shared with us. In our neck of the woods, in the western U.S., the Bear Lake Monster is in our neighboring state of Idaho.
Super well known. Everybody knows his name is Gerald.
Well, in our family.
I mean, you know, everybody.
Yes, everybody. That's the story we would tell when we'd go up to Bear Lake when Emily was little, about Gerald, who lived in the Bear Lake waters, and we would go wading, and but we always said Gerald lived across the lake. You know, it was all good.
Far away. Wasn't going to pull me under the water when I couldn't swim when I was little.
But, however, somebody has a sense of humor, and when you're up there, there's a boat that's been decked out like a lake monster.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun. There's also Champ in Lake Champlain, and it crosses New York, Vermont, and Quebec, Canada. There's the, excuse my pronunciation, Lagarfljotvarm in Iceland, with sightings from as early as 1345, and even as recently in the 2000s.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty extensive history.
Yeah, it's been around. Nahuelito, the Nahuel Huapi Lake in Argentina, in Laguna del Plesiosario, the Plesiosaurus Lagoon. They have photos, they say, in 2006. And Vangulu Canavari, the Lake Van Monster, in Lake Van Turkey. There was a newspaper story in the Sudet, April 29th of 1889, reporting a man had been dragged into the lake by the creature. There were other sightings in the 1990s, so a newer lake monster story, sort of.
These freshwater lake monsters seem to be talked about all over the world in folklore and in reported sightings. Bones and a complete skeleton of an ancient crocodile were found in Tunisia, in North Africa, which is next door to Libya, which is also where George slayed the dragon.
And it's just been kind of crazy fun figuring out about these crocodiles. Before George and the princess were a story, there were these giant crocodiles, Cretaceous period. There was a smaller one, and this is what got the ball rolling from a search result. When I was looking for reptiles in Libya, I found a National Geographic article on the Machimosaurus rex. He was the one found in Tunisia. Brilliant blue waters of the Mediterranean Sea are to the north, and it's wedged between Libya to the east and Algeria to the west. Tunisia has been influenced by the Berbers, Romans, Muslims, Ottoman, and the French. They are now an independent country and became the Tunisian Republic in 1957, as per what I could find in Wikipedia. We will share pictures of Machimosaurus rex on Instagram.
As per Nat Geo, this was the biggest sea-dwelling crocodile ever found, and it turned up in the Tunisian desert. So it was a whopper of a prehistoric predator, and it grew to be over 30 feet long, which was nearly 10 meters, and weighed 3 tons.
That's the 4 ox carts.
Yeah. <Just kidding. laughs> Really, though, you'd need them.
The fossils, again, to quote the article, the fossils, including a skull and a smattering of other bones, were discovered by Federico Fanti of the University of Bologna in Italy and colleagues with support from the National Geographic Society. Fanti estimates that Machimosaurus rex stretched to about 31 feet in length. This guy is
on the smaller side of giant crocodiles and alligators.
The Machimosaurus rex is a little smaller.
So we're moving on to the Sarcosuchus imperator. This particular species was found in Niger, which is south of Libya and in the Sahara Desert, which does stretch to Libya as well as several other countries in Africa. The remains of S. imperator were found in a region of the Tenere Desert named
Ganafua.
More specifically, in the El Raz formations of the Tagana group, dating from the late Aptian to the early Albian of the early Cretaceous, approximately
Cretaceous.
Cretaceous.
Sorry, we've probably been saying Cretaceous and it's Cretaceous. Sorry. poor artists are trying.
Oh my gosh. So that was approximately 112 million years ago. The stratigraphy of the region and the aquatic fauna that was found therein indicates that it was an inland...
What's a fluvial?
A fluvial environment, entirely freshwater in nature with a humid tropical climate.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
So this was the biggest freshwater croc ever. This next information is from Nat Geographic. There's kind of conflicting, minorly conflicting, I suppose,
give or take millions of years.
So the biggest freshwater croc ever lived 110 million years ago and grew as long as 40 feet or 12 meters. And it weighed up to 8 metric tons, which is 17,500 pounds. Since the time of this and other giants, such as the alligator Dinosuchus, many crocodile lineages have died out, leaving today's saltwater crocs as their most closely related.
Dinosuchus was 35 feet, and it was found in the U.S. It is an extinct genus of crocodilian related to the modern alligator that lived 82 to 73 million years ago. During the late Cretaceous period, the name translates as terrible crocodile and is derived from the Greek dinos, or danos, terrible, and sukos, crocodile. The first remains were discovered in North Carolina in the United States in the 1850s. The genus was named and described in 1909, and additional fragments were discovered in the 1940s and were later incorporated into an influential, though inaccurate, skull reconstruction at the American Museum of Natural History. You may be hearing one of the dachshunds in the background. Thanks for your patience.
They're a little restless because of the storm.
Yeah, everybody's kind of wandering around. Knowledge of Dinosuchus remains incomplete, but better cranial material found in recent years has expanded scientific understanding of this massive predator of 35 feet and a 50-year lifespan. This reading was taken from paleontologyworld.com. Wikipedia said, in the Agwuja... Okay, in the Agwuja, I'm guessing A-G-U-J-A, Agwuja formation of Texas, where some of the largest specimens of Dinosuchus have been found, these massive predators probably inhabited brackish water bays. Though some specimens have also been found in marine deposits, it is not clear whether Dinosuchus ventured out into the ocean. If I say it fast, maybe
you're
it'll make sense.
Roll. Just like fly through it.
Nobody will know I don't know how to say it.
So, I'm very confident in my mispronunciation.
Yes, I am. It is not clear whether Dinosuchus ventured out into the ocean like modern-day saltwater crocodiles. These remains might have been displaced after the animals died, like Emily mentioned before. Dinosuchus has been described as a conspicuous component of purportedly distinct biome occupying the southern half of late Cretaceous North America.
All right, so what do you think? Could a remnant population of giant crocodiles be terrorizing a medieval city?
Sorry. This is me writing alone, okay?
I just started a new job and Mom has some more free time.
Well, now the evil thing, people were like, the serpent was representative of evil. It's like, well, it also could be like one of those myths that was then again tied into a story.
Well, and it sounds far-fetched until you see that painting that's on Instagram that has, like, it looks like a legit alligator or a crocodile. It's not a dragon, I mean, as far as the way that the artist portrayed it. So, I don't know, I think it sounds far-fetched when we're talking about it, but in seeing the art, I think it kind of backs it up.
Even if it was a smaller crocodile, I wouldn't want to meet one now.
Oh, no.
But even if it was a crocodile like there are now in quote-unquote modern times, it still would have been something to deal with.
Do you think any piece of art nailed what the creature would have looked like? If you have any other pieces that you can think of, please let us know. Just DM us on Instagram. And let us know what you think on Instagram or email whisperingcontact@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us as we've studied one possible aspect of the Dragon's Lair.
Please rate the show on iTunes. We hope you'll subscribe so you'll get the latest shows. We publish about every 2 to 3 weeks. And take that time to research. We're an independent show, just me, Suzanne, and Emily, my daughter. and we do the research and production, it would be great if you would join our community of listeners. We'll talk to you again soon.
Stay cool.
Okay, that was a tough one. Like, I know, let's talk about dinosaurs. Great idea.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator. She told me, nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me, nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. Pretty daddy.